You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavage, only on LA Talk Radio.
And now your host, the award-winning Jessica R. Bunavage. Hey, Jess!
Hey, Max! Today's going to be a good show.
I don't know why we're laughing. You know, it's so funny because it's just, I'm so exhausted, and I know you are too, because we're both, you know, and not to complain about being busy, we're both grateful for being busy, but it's like, it's nonstop, and I'm wearing these, you know, sunglasses because it is, I know, this is what's going on underneath. Jess, can we see your mic? I don't hear you. I don't hear your sound. Butterfly in the sky. So, no, I can't hear you. And now it may, unless it's on my end. Right? So Jess is going to be right here. Hey, Sam, can you let us know if you hear Jess's sound in the control room over there? She is muted, Jess. Jess, your mic is muted. It's on the left-hand side. You'll see the little muted mic there. You're so excited to be on the show. You hit the mute button. So today's show is going to be amazing. It's about letting go. And Jess is back. Welcome to the show. We have to declutter our minds.
I know. Oh, my God.
This is how tired I am, Jess. Oh, 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, farm life. But Jess, you know, you've been so busy.
I haven't seen you.
Jess and I have realized we haven't seen one another for almost 2 years.
I know. Well, first of all, it was also COVID, the pandemic. That's 1 year.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And then when you were in New York, I was in Florida. And then when you, And then I was supposed to fly out, you know, last weekend with Clyde.
I know.
And I couldn't make it because I'm doing a show here, you know, another TV show here in New York. I'm at the farmhouse, Jess. Have you seen the barn? I don't know if you
can see it. Oh, my gosh.
But there's the barn. It's like major. It's 6,000 square feet. And then look, that you like. You see, Jess?
I feel like I need to be in a barn right now.
Well, then come on over. But, you know, I did a show last night, Jess, on Max and Friends, and we talked about wanting to want. Meaning, wanting to want to do something.
Yeah.
Wanting to want to let go, but you don't know how to actually let go. Because today's show is all about letting go, and it was the want to want. So how do we shift the want of something to actually want to do it?
Let me ask you, is there anything in your life that you but you struggle to let go of? What is one thing in your life that you is there anything?
This right here.
Which one?
I'm holding it. My cell phone.
No, that is so true.
I'm telling you, the addiction to this is the desire to want to let go.
Yes.
Is there, but I don't want to let go.
Let go. That's so true.
You know, and so really, that's one of them.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, it drew me yesterday. My guest was on last night, Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati. Her book is called Hollywood to the Himalayas. And we talked about the want to want. And I was like, what does that mean? And then it drew on me, you know, and our thoughts in our mind and meditation. Yeah. And she was telling me about there was this guru who had a student, and he pushed the student's head under the river and was holding his head there. And the student thought maybe this was a new way of baptizing someone. Yeah. And then he was realized that, you know, the guru was like holding his head under the water, and like he was thinking, is he trying to kill me? And he's like, and he's, you know, he's moving and trying to like move out and get out of the water and breathe, and he couldn't breathe. And then right before he passes out, the guru pulls him out of the water, and he goes, and he's coughing and gasping for air, and he's like breathing. And the guru said, when you were in that moment, what were you thinking? And he said, the only thing I could think of was that I couldn't breathe and I was going to die. He goes, what were you focused on? He said, breathing. And he goes, well, why couldn't you breathe? He goes, because I was under the water. And then the guru says to him, well, what were your thoughts? He goes, I didn't have any. All I wanted to do was breathe.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and it's like, that's, we get so caught up in life that we just forget about breathing.
Breathing, that's so true.
And the desire to breathe. And then the let go, the exhale.
Yeah.
You know, we're born to let go because we let go of our breath. right?
No, that's so true.
So why in life is it difficult for us to let go? Not only of cell phones, addiction, relationships, toxic relationships. You know, why is it difficult to let go of things, and of objects?
And then if you let go of someone, you think, and if you let go of someone, it hurts so much. But then again, you realize that was what I told you this weekend. I had such, I think it was one of the happiest weekend of my life, like super happy. And you know what? I was with my family alone. And of course, their spouses. And now they're making money. And, you know, we're a little bit financially, we're not, you know, we're affected by the pandemic. And my family are already like making money here and there, you know, like my daughter is making money. She just got her salary. And then so they treated, you know, myself and myself mm-hmm. and my husband. So we went, what do you call that? Go-karting. And then we ate in a food truck. And we just sat down for a picnic. You know, it's nothing fancy, but oh my gosh, Max, I feel like, God, this is what you did. He took away everyone around my life and really, so that I can really focus with my family alone.
It's like you had your head under the water.
Yeah.
Any of that time, did you feel like you were going to drown?
Before this thing, before
during this, like during, did you, when I say drown metaphorically, like did you feel when God was like, did you feel like you were going to give up and just not continue anymore?
Remember?
I'm asking you. I know the answer, but I want you to know.
What the heck is happening? And I have everything. You know, I thought all these material things. I thought you have so much friends here and there and just everything. But that nothing is actually making me happy. Up until yesterday was like, oh my gosh, I've never felt this happiness in my life for like the longest time. And it was like so simple.
I called
my husband about it. And he was like, isn't it crazy that like, and that's why this whole, what do you call that? This whole, I will explain it to you later on, this special project that we're doing. We're like, you know what? Why are we inviting people? Let's stick with the family. This is what God wants us to do.
Girl, you know, I've been trying to tell you that for a long time.
Right? I know.
Remember when you stick up to the house in Calabasas? I'm like, you have too many people over. There's too many people here. You need to, this is your private, sacred space. But, you know, with letting go, it's interesting because we know, again, instinctively, we know how to let go of our breath. That's one thing that no one teaches us, not even our mother. We know how to inhale and exhale.
Yeah.
So we know how to let go.
Yeah.
When it comes to material things, it's like, why is it so difficult? And, you know, there's that saying that it's easier to go from poor to rich than rich to poor, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, once you get the flavor of the grandeur of how luxury of everything.
Yeah.
It's until those moments where sometimes it has to be stripped away by force. Right?
Yes.
The letting go by force.
Yeah.
Where you were then, the eyes open and you go, you exhale. It's like a weight was lifted.
No. Right? Yeah.
So Jess, what are some weights that have been lifted off of your life from letting go?
What are the weights or the
weights, like the heavy weights?
The heavy weights. Yeah. Oh gosh, a lot. I mean, I think people that are not of use, you know, of that, or that doesn't have any purpose in,
I no longer serve you.
That doesn't serve me. Yeah. In my life. I mean, that's what I realized last weekend. Like, oh my gosh, I was so happy. Like I've never felt this so much joy.
Relief. The weight was released.
I'm crying.
Yeah.
Because it's so like, I just realized like that, oh my gosh, this is like the realization where, wow, you don't need to eat in a fancy restaurant. We were like literally on a grass, and you don't need to go to like a fancy place as well to be happy. We literally went go-karting in a very ghetto place, but you know what? It was treated by my children, who are actually like, you know, having salary now, and it's just so fun. It's like, oh my gosh, and I look at my three children, I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally have amazing children. You know, and even my little girl, who is actually very, you know, she's such a diva and everything, but she is actually a good girl. I just realized that I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, the three of them. It was so cute that now the three kids are making their own money and they're treating their parents. So cute.
You know, it's when you let go of the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, that all of a sudden the realization of everything that I need is right in front of me.
Oh my God.
Where I am right now is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And what I need the most is my family, and they're right here with me.
Yeah. And our podcast show.
You know, well, of course, your passion. You know, it's interesting because letting go is a process. You know, it really is a process. And our guest today is going to teach our ladies and our watchers and our viewers the process. Tweet us at The Polished Woman. Instagram us at The Polished Woman. Let us know what you have difficulty letting go of. You know, and know that you're not alone. And that no experience and no friendship and no relationship is really ever wasted. You know, they're all just here to teach us. You know, I love this saying, we're all here just walking each other home.
You know,
we're all here just walking each other home. Yeah. And in that process, you know, along the journey, you know, there's going to be healing. There'll be trauma. You know, there'll be transformation. Yeah. But along that journey, that road that you're taking, what are you letting go of and what are you leaving behind? I think is a beautiful thing.
So we're going to talk about that today.
I miss you, Jess.
I know.
I give you big hugs. I really, you know, one thing I look forward to the most is really just like giving you a good hug and seeing you in person. We're both going to cry.
I know. Oh my gosh. I swear. Just touching your flesh.
You know, I gave a friend of ours today a hug. Patricia's mother, we went to lunch today, Sally. Yeah. She goes, that's the first time someone has hugged me outside of my family in over a year.
No.
And it was just such a nice moment, you know?
Look,
Jessica, the one thing she won't let go of is her assistant. What do you have being brought over to you?
I know. I'm like, hey, I need my charger.
So, Jess, you're going to have a great show. You know, I love opening these shows with you, it's a lot of fun. I'm wearing sunglasses, not because I don't want you to not see me, but because I'm sleepy, Jess. You know what I'm going through here in a good way. There's so much.
I'm going
to bed at 1 a.m. and waking up at 5:30. And you know, I'm not drinking enough water. So I have to start drinking.
You have to drink water. And maybe
me telling you that.
maybe one time we should do, I want our viewers and listeners to see, you know, your home. Oh my gosh, it's so nice what you did to that house. Thank you. Super nice. Yeah.
Well, it's time for me to let go of this conversation and to trust that your passion and your purpose are going to be fulfilled.
Yay.
Have a great show, Jess. I really, you know, I know this one is, I say this about every show, you know, that
it's
going to be a great show, but I know that this is going to be a great show. You have a great guest Matt joining us, letting go as a way of leading a fuller life.
Yeah.
Have a great show, Jess.
Thank you, my love. Wait, our quote for today is from Taylor Swift. Never believe anyone who tells you that you don't deserve what you want. Right? That was so good. So I want you all to take a moment and think about what you wanted to be when you grew up. I know that. And how that version of yourself looks compared to who you are now. Maybe you've made that dream come true, or maybe you've made some changes or compromises. Are you holding on to that earlier version of yourself for some reason, or have you let her go? Just like me, I let it go. Can you let her go? So today I have a very special guest. I'm so happy that I have her today. She will share with us so much. I'm joined by the inspiring and multi-talented Yvette Dubel, a speaker, artist, researcher, and personal innovation mentor. Founding CEO of Web Antiphon Group, author of Why Brand Risk Management Innovation is a Game Changer and a Cure for Racism, as well as creator of the Empowered Innovation System. Today, she's here with us to explore the idea of letting go as a way of leading a fuller life. Hey, Yvette!
Hello, how are you?
Yvette, can I just share Yvette? I spoke to her before the show. She's the total polished woman. And I will tell you why. Thank you so much, Yvette, for coming to our show. I know you're very busy. And she's been married for 31 years. And we will share that with you later on. Okay, why do you think, when you think about the idea of letting go, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Yeah.
Well, of course, letting go of relationships that don't serve you. I mean, that's got to be, you know, top of mind. Mm-hmm. But then relating to what you and Max were talking about, breath, one of my early mentors transformed the penal system in Jamaica with his breath work, teaching breath work. He calls it the practice.
Okay.
And I'll just briefly tell you that short story.
Yeah, of course. I want to learn about this. Yeah.
He was studying psychology, went back to Jamaica where he's from, and he was teaching, he calls it the practice, and it's basically a mindfulness practice around conscious breathing and meditation. Okay. And then there was, that was also part of a music program, and the prisoners started to perform around the island, and some of the guards didn't like, I guess, what was happening. So there was a strike and the guards went on strike thinking that chaos would break out and they'd be called right back in, but that's not what happened. They managed themselves for 6 months. And Princeton, Harvard, Princeton and Harvard have studied, you know, studied his work there. But yeah, everybody that was involved was replaced and they discontinued the program and he came back to the States.
What?
It speaks to the power though of what conscious breathing can do. And that actually is something I use in my letting go process, you know, affirmations combined with breath work. Absolutely. And I think Iyanla Van Zandt, I believe, was the one that
there's love her.
A process of turning to the left, inhale, turn to the left. I'm going to put this exercise in my book and credit her with it, of course, but it's a really good one for when you're letting go.
So
it's like affirm that you turn and
turn left.
You want, yes, to your shoulder, turn your head to your shoulder. And as you're doing it, you're inhaling as you do that and you're saying the thing you want to believe or the thing you want to affirm. And then when you turn right, as you're turning right, you exhale. And you exhale the thing that you want to be rid of and release. And you do that on the exhale. And then you complete the exhale as you bring your head back. And then you do the affirmation again.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to do that. How many how many minutes is like the right, you know, time to actually do that whole?
Just do it like in the time it takes to do that breath. So like I do like a, I'm sorry, like about a 4-count breath in out.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me try and think of something. I'm trying to think of something really general. I released the I'm gonna release the need to be right.
Okay.
And I'm going to affirm.
Yeah.
I'm going to affirm my willingness, because that's what I like to say when I don't quite know how to do something, but I'm willing to do it.
Yeah.
The subconscious mind will accept that is true. Because it is in fact true. I am willing. So I am willing to see things differently would be the release. And then would be the affirmation. And then the release would be I'm willing to release the need to be right.
Wait, I'm going to ask you something about this whole breathing thing. When you say something of affirmation and then releasing it, do you have to say it? Because sometimes I heard that it's better for you to just say it, you know, within your mind.
You don't have to say it out loud. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. But is it better that you say it out loud or it's better that you say it just within
your mind? I like to say it out loud because I sometimes will put my hand on my chest so they can feel, to like really immerse myself in a sort of visualization of the affirmation, like vibrating every cell in my body.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to, I think, you know, sound baths.
Yeah.
That same premise.
Yeah.
So there's something about hearing yourself say it. And I often wear like crystals and things like that. So I usually have something on my chest. And I like to feel the affirmations when I say them. Or you could do it with gratitude. Sometimes gratitude with my breath work. So as I'm doing my meditative breathing, I will do like my affirmations as I'm breathing.
Okay. Yeah.
And then with the exhale, I just release everything that is opposed in opposition to that affirmation. So on the inhale, I'll say the affirmation. And then on the exhale, I let go of everything.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to do that. I like that. Wait,
so that's the first kind of letting go.
That's the first time. Okay. I want to know more about you first. So what do you think is the most important thing that you've let go of in your life?
I would say like a notion, a limited notion of myself, you know, sort of like the one that was handed to me and replacing that with something that's more becoming. It's not, I don't think of me being this. I think of myself as something becoming, like I'm always becoming Yvette, you know, the full. I'd like to think that I'm becoming the fullest version of myself.
I was just going to say that. Version. I was just going to say that. You know, how has letting go led you to the, you know, to leading you to the fuller, to a fuller life of Yvette? Yeah.
Yes. And so like letting go of other people's idea of who I am.
Yeah.
And recognizing how I had internalized that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of time objects are the symbols, you know, of relationships and connections to identity. Okay. And so at different points, I have buried things in the yard, you know, offering them to the earth, offering them back to God, Mother Nature, whatever.
Oh, I also like that. Yeah. I love that whole idea. I might have to do that.
It's very, very powerful when you have something. I've done it to be rid of things, but I've also done it as gratitude. Because I told you that we had home births. And so with the placenta, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
It's wrong to just throw it in the trash. And so I buried them. I had like a little ceremony with candles. And I felt the gratitude of what that placenta was.
Yeah,
you know, sustained my babies. Or baby. It was baby at the time. But babies. And you know, buried it and returned it back to the earth, and you know, and sort of. I think my, you know, so it probably seems sort of weird, but it felt like a way of honoring it. And that we had very like easy. I had a very, very easy birth, so I was also grateful for that. You know, that I had easy. I had like morning sickness lasted a bit long, but other than that, like really easy pregnancies. My births were under 2 hours, all of them. My last one, I think, was 45 minutes.
My gosh. But you know, Yvette, the idea of letting go, if like, of course, they're like, oh my gosh, how do you let go? You know, it can actually be scary. And one for a lot of people, because they feel like they're giving something up that they're not necessarily ready for. Like, for example, like Max and I were talking about, you know, giving up your phone. Can you really give up your phone even just for like an hour or a day? So let's reframe this in terms of the idea of decluttering. What does the process of decluttering look like for you?
Well, hold on. Can I touch on the cell phone thing just really quickly?
Yes. Yes, okay. I want that.
Instead
I actually want that.
Of trying to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah.
Think of it in a way that will set you up for success and just try and do, you know, half an hour without the phone. If you're somebody that carries your phone with you all the time and just, and then just make that an everyday thing that for 30 minutes, I'm going to put the phone away and do something not related to the phone instead of trying to put it away and get rid of it, because our lives, it's just not practical.
It's just not,
live now.
Exactly.
I work on my phone a lot when I, you know, so I would say just for a little bit, have a slot of time where you won't be with the phone, and then you don't feel like it has so much control over you.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think if you do that whole meditation or prayer for like for people like me who are religious and or for something or just something for yourself. It's right. Do like have a 30-minute take off your, you know, take away your phone and literally like take it away. Because sometimes if you see that light.
Focus on your breath. On your breath. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you see that light or the vibration, you know, that it when it vibrates or something, seriously, sometimes when I'm praying, I would be like, oh, there's like a light, you know, that came out. Should I like look at it? No. Just really literally like turn it off for a while. Because that's when you can really concentrate with whatever, breathing or prayer or meditation or just alone time for yourself, right? That's why it's actually good to go to the spa, because when you're at the spa, you leave your phone and be away for like an hour. It's just, you know, it's just amazing, right?
Absolutely. I would say that's a must have. And I think that's important to be grateful for our breath. Like that's another thing that can help us when we're struggling with anything, letting go of something.
Yeah.
Finding a place to address the gratitude first can make it easier. Like if you can recognize what the thing has given you, that can sometimes make it easier to separate, because you can see that you've gotten what you need from it. And then you can maybe see that you don't need it anymore.
Yeah. That's so true. So for us, listen, for you listeners and viewers, I want to share with you, this is like something that I'm always very pro-marriage. I love talking about marriage. I'm just, I don't know why I'm so obsessed. And when I spoke to you, I know this is like out of the topic, but I think I'm sure we can insert this somewhere, the letting go of some, you know, like, for example, the people like in a marriage, I've been talking to this couple for a while now. You know, there's cheating that happened and stuff. It's just hard to let go of that whole pain that they experience, you know. But you know what? I said, for you to be able to really get back together, you just have to really get rid of that. And it's just so hard. Now, for you, you've been married for 31 years. And I am so, when I hear people, you know, who have been married for like 31 years, 20 years, I'm going to my 21st year at 4 years, 5 years.
Congratulations.
I know, right? I did it.
Yes.
It's just so, I don't know. I'm so happy and somehow overwhelmed in a good way, because there's always like, what do you call this? There's always like a way, right? Can you just share with us the things that actually, you know, what made your marriage successful?
Oh, wow. You know what? Actually, I had this conversation with my little brother last weekend. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And we were talking about some dating thing that I think was on Netflix or something. Or somebody, reviewer was talking about it.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the issue of, these were two dating coaches, I think, talking about this. But they were saying about the time that it takes for people to show who they really are and that whole thing. And I was telling my brother, it's like, I think that was one of the things that put us on a good path, was neither one of us did that. Was we didn't show up pretending to be somebody else or putting on like the best version of ourselves.
Yeah.
We just showed up very much who we were. And I recognized that in him and really liked that he was just being so real. And not like trying to impress me or making all sorts of promises or anything like that. But by the same token, I will say we shared this story in the Wall Street Journal, and
Is it really love at first sight?
Well, that was our first date, and he did tell, I didn't know how to introduce him, and he introduced himself as my future husband, or she's my future wife, however you want to look at it. And so, yeah, I mean, he knew right away that I was like the one. And I definitely knew he was special. I think within like certain a week or a couple of weeks, I thought he might be the one. And within 3 months, we felt that we were the one for each other. And so I think that being real was a big, that helped a lot, because we didn't come together under like false pretenses. And then also because we were really young. We didn't have a lot of relationship baggage, honestly. I think that probably
But what is the secret? I mean, you told me a while ago what the secret
we
is.
We love each other. We accept each other. I think acceptance is a big part of it. And also, I think that for women, well, he's like my favorite guy still. So he's still...
I know. I love that you said that.
He really is. I wanted hamburgers for lunch, and so he was grilling hamburgers for us. He's just like my favorite. He's like probably my favorite person. Not even, and my kids are definitely up there too. I love my kids. But he is definitely like my favorite person. And I think one of the things when couples have been, I'm going to talk about women actually. So oftentimes with women, there is this, I want him to know me completely. I want him to read my mind and just dump everything that's inside of you into his lap.
No.
And I think that's not the thing to do. And I don't think that you withhold important things, but when you and I were talking, I was sharing that, like, I don't think my husband's read anything that I've written. He's watched maybe a handful of interviews or listened to a handful of interviews that I've done. I don't like dump all my work stuff and talk to him about that.
Yeah.
That's like my thing. And so I think that there's something about not doing that gives them something to still know about you, particularly if you're still growing and, you know, you have new interests.
No, that's so true.
all that kind of stuff. You were talking earlier about having adult children, and I think that's another component of it, is when we go from being mommy focused, it's different, you know.
Yeah.
Do dress. I'm not gonna say maybe everybody does. I did still wear makeup to play dates. I remember the other moms would all make a thing of that. So even if I showed up in sweatpants, I would have on makeup and probably jewelry.
No, I love the fact that you said that you have to make your guy, your spouse, chase you, right? Don't stop letting them chase you, right? You said that.
Don't
and
stop
like,
looking cute. You just still make that effort when you leave. It's nice when they say like, oh, you look really hot when you're leaving.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of stuff. And I think that when we're moms, we're very into, you know, mom thing, and we're dressing for convenience and things like that. So one of the first big things was when my kids, when I was done with that, was deciding that I needed to update my look.
Oh, okay.
Right? So like not looking the same, not keeping your makeup the same.
Yeah.
You know, freshen up the lingerie. Don't forget those things. And so still, if you still act like you want to be dated or courted, then I think they'll still court and date you. So we have
true. Yeah. We
have, like, dates in our backyard or on the patio where we're just having like a cocktail and a fire and music. It's like still doing
better one, aside from, of course, the whole chasing thing. What are the bad traits that actually you should, these are all for you women who are listening, who are married, and, you know, for you who are thinking, hey, I don't want to be with this guy anymore. I want to divorce him or something like that. No, you know, don't do it until like you really, really are sure that you want to do it, because there are things that it can be saved, right?
Yes. I think if you have like a good guy, you know, it's worth the effort.
Yes,
I think one of the biggest things, and I'm sure you've seen this too, Jessica, is when somebody's unhappy in a relationship and they complain about it all the time, and they have a really nasty attitude, and they're chastised, and just point out all the things he's doing wrong all the time, and they forget to say like thank you for the things that he does right, and they forget to pay attention to the things that he does that make life good for you, you know?
Yeah.
You have to compliment them, you know, and also tell them they look cute and I like those jeans.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. They love those.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of my things is I love my husband's face. And I've always just loved holding his face. And just sometimes I look at him just like, I just love your face. You know?
I love that. That's so romantic.
It's like, I love his face, you know, and you think about it, also to think about, I can't remember the song. It's Meghan Trainor, I think, and John Legend, I think, do the song. I'm going to love you like I'm going to lose you. You know that song?
Oh my God.
I don't want to sing
love
it, but,
that.
Right. Okay. So you like think about that.
Oh,
like if something happened to that person, what would you miss? If something happened to them and you know, they were taken away, what would you miss about them? And sometimes that can shift your heart from a place of complaining and not appreciating. But I just think appreciation transforms so much. Focus on like what you love about them, and that will grow, and you don't lose sight of it. Of course, you don't stop having sex. That's another thing.
That's important.
Holding hands. But even before that, there's the holding hands, and the dating is all part of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's all connected. So like, don't stop holding hands. Like that's a big thing.
That's so important. You know, I always tell my friends or people that I talk to and share that I'm like, I've been married for 21 years and every night I still hold hands with my husband at night. And they're like, what?
Yes.
And then so my son and his girlfriend are like, you don't do that to me. And I'm like, you're not even married yet. And you don't, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's like so important. So sometimes
it really is.
Yeah, I heard that holding hands is actually very more effective than anything else.
There's a whole biochemical thing around with holding hands that's very important. So I think like holding hands, we hold hands a lot when we're driving or just sitting around. Also, we hug each other. You know, like just when I'm going to refill my bottle of water. You know,
that's so true.
Hug him, or he's out doing yard work or something.
Yeah, that's so true. So do you think, so let's go back to letting go. Since you've been married for 30 years and, you know, you
oh, what you let go. Well, you let go of your idea of who you think they should be. Because I see so often that people marry a man and then they immediately want him to become someone else. And I think the same thing can happen in reverse. And part of it is people's idea of what a husband or a wife is. And it has nothing to do with that individual. And so then once they get married, it's like, okay, now you need to fit in this box and become this thing, even though that's not who he was before. Okay. So I think like that letting go of your idea of who he should be and appreciating who he is.
Who he is, right? I mean, how... Now there is a question. How if actually you don't know how, you didn't really know anything about him. Then all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, like you were not like you thought he was this perfect guy, you know, he was the right guy for you. And then all of a sudden, like you've been, you know, then you've been together for like a few years and then the real him, like all of a sudden, you know, came out. Like, how do you deal with those things? How do you like let go of like the expectations?
So before the fact,
okay.
Well, one, I would say you have to be honest about what you weren't willing to see before, because I feel there's always clues. I believe people always show you who they are, but when it doesn't match what you want, you don't pay attention. You negate it. Oh, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like somebody has a short temper and you see them punch a wall. Right.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And and then that doesn't mean anything. So I mean, so there's the things you have to look at what you weren't willing to see and then be willing to see it and see it for what it is and deal with that. But once you're in it and you know you're in it. One of the exercises I found very valuable over the years is writing letters. There's the letter I write.
I like that.
For myself. And there's the letter I write to myself about the thing. Then there's the letter I write to the person that I don't give to them, that just simply says all the things that are in my head or my heart that might not be productive in the way that I want to say them, but that's how I feel them. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So there's expression of your heart and what you're feeling.
Yeah.
So you get that out so that you can have the conversation and will be productive with the person.
Okay.
So you write the letter to them saying what you want to say, however it comes out, and then you burn that letter.
That's also good. I like that.
And then when you reflect and if you feel that you want to write, you write as many of the, one of the things that I teach, I don't have it hanging up right here, but one of the things that I teach is an exercise where we do this journaling and we do it on watercolor paper and then we tear it up. And then we reconfigure it into a piece of art. And so, and I teach people how to use watercolor markers, like just Crayola markers, just Crayola water-based markers as watercolor paint, if you don't have watercolor paint. And you turn those journal entry pieces after they've been torn up because nobody can read them. And we put them together. I wish, if I know we were going to talk about that, I would have made sure I had that sitting out to show to you. And so one was a picture of like a vase of flowers that I had sitting over there. And so put them together and it's this watercolor painting. And so you transform something you feel negative about. And then it's in my book, A Cure for Racism. This exercise is in there and you can use it for multiple things. It doesn't just have to be for racism, but anything within you that you want to be rid of and that you want to see transformed. Mm-hmm. We use this process to literally transform it. And as you're making the work, there are a series of questions and reflection points for you to think about as you're creating your piece. And then when you finish it, you see something that you felt negatively about transformed into something that's, you know.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah. I mean, speaking of racism, you know, I'm not from, you know, I'm, you know, English is my second language as well. And sometimes, you know, I actually talked to a family of mine and she's my sister and she's having anxiety because she moved to Canada and, you know, she's feeling like out of place. She's feeling like, maybe I don't belong here. I just want to go back. I said, no, don't say that. I've been in that situation and I thought I wouldn't be able to make it out here, but you know, but no, don't give up. You're there for a reason.
No. And you let go of the fear.
Yeah, you let go of the fear. Yeah.
Feel it and then let it go. But in the relationship, I think that that exercise that I just shared with you has been very good for having a conversation that isn't muddied by all of my stuff. As you're writing that letter, you're dealing with your stuff and getting it out so that when you talk to the person, you can actually focus on the issue that's being addressed and not attack them personally.
Wow, I like that. And then you write them, you write all of them out and then just throw it and then
Well, I like to burn things because I just watching it burn just makes me, I don't know, it just, I feel, you know, I feel it. And I also, sometimes I partially
burn things.
You
feel the release, right?
Oh, yeah. And so sometimes I partially burn because I also like scorch marks in my artwork. So sometimes I will partially burn things and keep certain words or certain parts of the paper and then incorporate that into art. So I really like the transforming of the negative into something that's meaningful.
Into something that's, oh my gosh.
So I think that's very powerful in relationship.
Oh, I wish you can show me, you can show me like a thing from that vase or something. I love that.
I will text, I'll email it to you after.
Okay. I would want to do that. Now let's talk about now children. Okay. You have a very good relationship with your children. What are the things that you have, you know, you let go of, you know, from your children? Like, did they, you know, is there anything that you had, you advised them that, you know what, you kids, let go of this. We need the decluttering from whatever, you know, you guys are doing. What, let's,
okay.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers are, you know, they have kids as well. And this is now their problem, you know?
Yes. When they were young, one of the rules we had for the holidays was we had to get rid of things before Christmas came.
I think you mentioned that to me. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
And so we would give toys away before the holidays to make room for more stuff. Because, you know, we lived in a small place at that time too. And also just trying to like teach them. I don't know how great, I won't say I was masterful at this, but attempts to teach them to organize, you know, the markers and all of that kind of thing. And so creating little systems and spaces. So organizing small spaces rather than focusing on a whole room, designate a certain area as like, okay, so they played in the family room. I mean, they played all over the house, but the family room, and because we homeschooled, that was sort of the base. And so most of the manipulatives and small toys, Legos and things like that would be organized in that room and on one side of that room.
Okay.
And so finding like small bins and ways to repurpose containers, packaging containers, because I was trying to teach them about recycling and things like that.
Oh, I like
that. So if you can bring them in for and just like getting them to think creatively about, this has become more of an issue now in terms of our waste. But thinking, I'm sorry, that is my cat going nuts. But thinking about like our waste. And so getting them to think about how they could reuse things, you know, making something out of something else that, like just your juice. Like when you get your big things of cranberry juice, cutting the bottom off of that. And we used it as a big dog scooper as an example. Okay.
Oh my God.
Because we've always had very big dogs and they eat about 3 cups of food.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. So we needed a very, very, and then the small dog scoopers that came with the containers weren't big enough. But then also as they have gotten older as adults, I would say one of the things I had to let go of was the old relationship that we had, you know, because your relationship is different.
Yeah. And,
maybe you had this experience as well, is when they want to be adults, but they still want you to be mom when they need you. It's like, and I told them that it felt to me like I've been your coach, like we've been in this game, we were on the same team. And then there came a point where I got bitched and I'm just supposed to sit on the bench and be mommy until like you need me to run back in. And that was sort of, I was figuring
like
out
that
I
whole
my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't really like that. So I was like, that doesn't really work for me anymore. And so I started joking about retiring from being a mother.
Yeah.
And they all said, no, you can't do that.
No, so, you can't. I think that's going to be forever your job.
It's forever.
Forever, yeah.
And that became real to me. I had a classmate who was going through a divorce, and I ran into her. And she talked about how she called her dad every day and talked to him and how he got her through. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And I was like, and that's when it kind of like hit me, like what you were just saying.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life, like this is my thing. And so, but the relationship changes, you know, like, so you have to let go of the old relationship.
Yeah.
And allow it to become something new.
Yeah. So letting go of being just a mom and now being a mom and a best friend and a therapist and, you know, all of those things one. Oh my
God. Well, it's also different because you're not as involved, for me anyways, like I'm not as involved in their lives and not.
Yeah. Like 24 hours. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I wanted them all to share their location. And when my daughter didn't want to share her location anymore.
Oh my God. I have that now.
I was hurt, you know?
Yeah.
She's 25. And my friend said, what would you have done if your mom had wanted to do that with you? And I was like, how dare you not take my side?
I know that's so true. No, it hurts, right? It hurts that because you've always been involved in their lives, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Mom, please, I'm old enough," and they're like, "Okay, fine," you know. Then that's why
I had to stop checking. So at night, when we're talking about the phones earlier, every night before I went to bed, I would look just to see where everybody was.
Right,
and it just made me feel better.
Yeah,
Where they were.
Yeah.
And sometimes if it was after midnight and they weren't home, I was so tempted to text and ask for it, you know, but I didn't. So it was like that process of learning to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Stop checking the phone to see where they are. Because my oldest son is 30 and my daughter, my youngest is 25. You know what I mean? So it was like, I had to stop. So like that was something I had to let go of.
That's
and
amazing.
Initially I started with, I'm willing to let this go. Because I didn't know how to do it yet.
I love that. Oh my God, I cannot believe we're done. I want to hear more, but I want to get that thing from, I know we have to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Yvette. Oh my gosh, I love everything. I have my pen. I'm taking notes for everything that you just told me. How can listeners find you? How can they find you? Where can they find you? Do you do any workshops or anything like that?
I do. I do workshops and personal innovation mentoring sessions.
Yeah.
And retreats. I'm going to be doing a new group.
Okay.
Around this kind of work that we're talking about, transforming your life and overcoming obstacles.
Okay.
But they can find me on Instagram.
Okay.
They can find me on LinkedIn or they can go to my website, webantifon.com or empoweredinnovation.org.
Yvette, what's your Instagram?
Yvette Dubell.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yvette Dubell. That's her Instagram. So you can message her and then you do announcements on your social media, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. This is amazing. Thank you so much, Yvette. Thank you so much for coming to our show. And I hope to keep in touch.
Absolutely.
I know. Thank you. I will follow you today. I wanna see what you're doing. I'm interested.
I can't wait to see what you're up to. So I will follow back and keep
touch. And don't forget to send me that photographs. I'm gonna apply. Ladies, let's apply what we have learned from Yvette today. It's really amazing. She's a good example of a polished woman, very close to her kids, been married for 31 years, and still in love. That's so nice. Thank you so much. Okay, our tip for today. Too often when we think of letting go, we think about it in terms of sacrifice, but it can also be liberating. I challenge each and every one of you to give up something this week that may have been holding you back. Maybe it's your idea of where you're supposed to be in your life or a relationship that no longer serves you, and pay attention to what opens up in your life. Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you so much. And don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. Bye.
You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.